From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Julie Glenn. As the world tries to emerge from its coronavirus closure, schools are looking for the best way forward to ensure the safety of students, staff, and the community. We are on the cusp of July now, and all eyes are on back-to-school plans, or in the case of college, off-to-school, packing for the dorm, and the exciting promise of a new year. But the looming shadow remains the uncertainty surrounding the spread and hoped-for containment of COVID-19, which has seen record-breaking increases in case numbers daily in the state of Florida since the state began its phased reopening. Today's Department of Health update shows 5,266 new positive COVID-19 cases in the past 24 hours. We're talking today with Dr. Michael Martin about FGCU's plans recently approved by the State Board of Governors. Dr. Martin, thanks for joining us today.
Delighted to do it, Julie. Glad to talk to you.
To engage with us and your fellow listeners about this conversation or any of our shows, find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Dr. Martin, tell me what's the basic plan right now for reopening?
Well, the basic plan for reopening is to come back in what you might call a modified normal fashion. That is, we will set up classes and management of the campus to ensure social distancing. We'll require masks on campus. We will do that not only of our faculty, staff, and students, but those who may visit us. And we will have options available for students who may have particularly challenging issues with respect to coming back to campus so they can augment what we do here with online coursework. So we're looking at various kinds of hybridized class delivery systems, but we're also looking at normal class delivery systems with sufficient space in every room that we can fully socially distance. And then we will be monitoring our students, faculty, and staff regularly. We probably won't be able to actually test everyone, but we will be working on ways to keep track of everyone's temperature and anyone who shows any symptoms at all. We have capacity to quarantine them on campus as well as to track their success and trace their connections should that come to pass. So we've got a kind of a wide variety of things we're prepared to do. But it really does come down, Julie, as you may have just noted, that we'll have to see what goes with the current surge and determine whether or not we can believe that all we do will truly be safe.
It's a scary time because these numbers are just staggering. The last couple of days we were up around 9,000. Now we're down to 5,000, which is sadly a relief. But when we first broke 5,000 in 24 hours, that was pretty shocking last week. It's quite the roller coaster ride, I'm sure, for you watching this. And I would imagine that you also have concerns for students or faculty or staff who may have pre-existing underlying conditions that might make them feel concerned about coming back to work or school.
Absolutely. And we want to be cognizant of that. Our human resources folks are prepared to take in any information, and then we can make adjustments to the way we interact. And it's not just faculty, staff, and students. You know, we live in a neighborhood with highly vulnerable people, and a large percentage of our students work in this community to afford to come to FGCU. So they interact with one of the more elderly population bases in the state. I think the three coastal counties are among the most elderly. I happen to be a member of that elderly class. And so it's a combination of not only taking care of our own, but ensuring that we do the best we can to take care of our neighbors as well. So it's a complicated business, and it's a complicated time. And the unfortunate reality is everything we do will have to be a reaction rather than being proactive. And right now, we just have to wait to see how this breaks.
So right now, we have some people have come back on campus to start working and preparing for the fall?
Yep. We are slowly phasing folks on. This is the first week of phased on numbers. And part of it is both to get ready, presuming we can go to a normal class or at least something that approaches normal class offerings, but also to begin to test our systems, to make sure we can track people, to make sure people are prepared to fully embrace CDC guidelines and all other of the parameters we have to do. And as you probably know, we're going to start in the next few days on a couple of major construction projects. And we have to make sure that construction workers and people delivering materials to this campus subscribe to our strategy and our parameters as well. So all of this is sort of a slow move toward determining whether or not we believe we can very safely reopen this campus in such a way that students can come to campus every day and not have to rely specifically or only on remote delivery.
Mm-hmm. So at FGCU, if you're coming to school or if you're coming to work or if you're coming to do contract labor here, plan on wearing a mask.
Absolutely. Plan on wearing a mask. Plan on being very cognizant of social distancing. Be very cognizant if you show any symptoms at all that we need to know that, or someone who can respond needs to know it. And be sure to help us should you show symptoms that we can trace whoever you've contacted.
And another thing that I found interesting is that if people that work here plan to leave the Southwest Florida area, they need to talk with human resources about where they're going, what they plan to do, and when they get back, they need to be reintegrated.
Absolutely. And we're hoping that as we get a little closer to fall, we'll be able to have some capacity on campus to do fast turnaround testing, so that if we do have people who, either for personal or professional reasons, make a trip out of the area and we have concerns, we can give them a test before they get fully reintegrated. And if that turns out to be an indicator that we have to go to some isolation, we'll have to do that as well. But you're exactly right. This is a time that we've never had to do this before. I think we are well prepared. I think our crew has put together a plan that anticipates a whole variety of possible challenges, but we're going to have to some extent, make it up as or implement it as we go along.
So now this plan was one that was approved by the university's Board of Trustees, and then it was sent to the state. What would have happened had the state said no to the plan?
We would have probably have to go back all the way through our trustees and get another plan approved. We did build into this plan the notion that it's likely to change. So we did, within the plan that was approved both by the trustees and the board, it recognizes two things. The uncertainty that in many, many dimensions that we have to deal with, and the unique circumstances that FGCU faces relative to our 11 sister institutions. So I think the plan is sufficiently adaptable that we could adapt without having to go through a very, very complex reapproval process. But nonetheless, had we had to go back to the drawing board, we would have certainly engaged our own Board of Trustees before going forward.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, is there a calendar date goal for getting staff completely back on campus?
Yeah, we're hoping to have, and I don't have the calendar right in front of me, and I let me parenthetically say, the leadership of Ruth Rodriguez through this has been absolutely stellar. So Ruth has been managing a lot of this on a day-to-day basis. But we hope that as we get into approach fall semester, and that, as you know, launches at the end of August, that by at least, you know, the 20th or thereabout of August, we will be staffed up enough that we can operate this campus in something that approximates normal conditions. Now, we have some advantages, as I think you know. We have almost exclusively one to a room bedroom on-campus housing. So we don't have that kind of mixing as you would get in a more, I guess, antiquated residence hall system. On the other hand, we have the disadvantage right now of having a campus that requires us all to come to the middle of campus every day for classes. I mean, we have a downtown FGCU across a very narrow academic core. And so we're going to have to manage both of those very carefully. One gives us an advantage. One creates a bit of a disadvantage. And we want to have people fully back on campus so that as students show up, we can manage it in the safest possible way while also delivering the highest possible quality academic programs.
If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking with Dr. Mike Martin, FGCU president, about the plans for reopening campus this fall. To engage with us and your fellow listeners about this conversation or any of our shows, you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. I can't help but think about incoming freshmen and how excited and nervous they are. What are they going to experience when they get to campus?
Well, we're going to have, we've already done some virtual orientation with those who have deposited and have indicated a plan to join us. And as it turns out, we've hit our target number. So the good news is that people have some faith in us and are looking forward to joining us. But they're going to have to be much more adaptable and much more aware than they might have been under normal circumstances. You know, it's natural, obviously, for 18-year-olds coming off to college to be both academically committed but socially committed. And we're going to have to manage those, and they're going to have to be very, very aware. And our staff is teeing up to make sure that we not only keep them well informed and trained, but in all candor, monitor the conduct of students living in the residence halls, the way in which their clubs are organized and gathering, everything from intramurals to fraternities and sororities, as well as the classroom experience itself. It's going to be different. It's going to be quite different. But hopefully we can retain the enthusiasm and the joy of being a freshman at a great university in every way we possibly can.
I imagine it's going to be kind of a heavy lift for the residence assistants, the residence directors.
No question. And that our folks are working right now to make sure that as we bring them into the system and get ready to go for the fall, they understand the expanded responsibilities they have. And as you know, we also have to work with a number of organizations to which we outsource our functions here. For example, as you know, we outsource our meal service. So we got to make sure the meal service people that are hired by Chartwell are fully aware of how they have to conduct, particularly in places like South Village, where we have the big dining area. They have to be very cognizant of how they manage and how they manage our freshmen down in Sovie as they utilize food services. Likewise, you know, we have a transportation system on campus provided by Dolphin, and we got to make sure Dolphin understands social distancing on the buses, a whole variety of other things. So many, many people are going to have to adapt to a very new way of doing what we do here, and those who are responsible in the residence halls, particularly the freshman residence halls, are going to have a fairly big job, and we're going to count on them doing it well.
That would be a challenge.
It will. I mean, I've been a parent. My kids are pretty grown up now, but I remember those years pretty specifically.
I remember vividly. Yeah.
And it's a time of great adventure, but at this point in life, it also has to be an adventure fully controlled for the sake of everyone. And as you know, the outbreak now has really struck younger people pretty dramatically. And while they may themselves be more resistant to the worst of COVID-19, the people they interact with may not be. So it's a high level of responsibility to all of us. And we won't bring people back, invite them back to campus, unless we have great confidence that everyone is up to the task. And just so you know, we have a very, very good relationship with local health care providers, and they have been advising us and will continue to advise us both on what the parameters need to be to reopen and how to best manage when we do.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the economic impact of all the closures and the whole entire thing. I'm wondering if you have any idea if there are any students who are unable to return because of financial reasons, because they were laid off, their parents were laid off.
I don't have any actual data, but we do get anecdotal input on that topic. And as I said, a large percentage of our students work in the community so they can afford to come here. And we know that has been very stressful. Many of them, one of the reasons we had, I think, a big jump in summer enrollment online is I think a lot of our students could not work this summer, so they picked up some additional coursework online. But that does create stress in the fall. Now, we're working very hard on providing some special assistance to those who may face very strong negative externalities, so to speak, in coming back. And we're We have a group working with the local community business leaders to ensure that there's a clearinghouse for every job that's available so any student coming back who needs to work can find a job very quickly. And a great group of people from the local business community has been getting together. I had a Zoom meeting with them last week. But I do think that's going to be an issue, and it's incredibly painful to know that these families are under the kind of stress they're under, and the students are under the kind of stress they're under. Hopefully, we can relieve some of it, at least a bit, through a variety of means of financial aid, on-campus employment, connections to employers in the community, et cetera.
And I'm wondering, speaking of finances, if it's possible to look right now at how this whole thing has impacted the university financially. Has it hit the university, or is this a hit that's being shared among the entire university system, or does it stay at one school?
Well, it's some of each. You know, okay. Today we'll get the notice. We'll find out what the governor did to the budgets coming to all of the universities with respect to vetoes. And that news, I think, I haven't actually seen his veto list, but I think it's out this morning. So everyone, I think, across the system is likely to take a bit of a hit. You know, we're pretty dependent here on tuition revenues along with the state appropriation for our core operating budget. We are budgeting for the fall a 10% decline in tuition revenue just in case. And we're building our plans around that. And we have taken, and in some cases it's been painful, we've taken a very conservative approach to spending since this thing broke out. As I think you probably know, we froze hiring other than very essential positions. We froze all purchases other than essential positions like PPE. We've frozen out any travel, official travel, at least through the end of July. And we are we've had in some cases to create part-time or reduced time appointments for people whose offices effectively closed because we went online. All of those have been painful. But the objective is to be as liquid as we can in the fall so that if we hit another burst of COVID-19, if we get a hurricane, we've got to be ready to cover some expenses that we would not have covered under normal years, and therefore to cushion the blow to everybody, including students.
So I know that FGCU has focused a lot on boosting graduation rates by making navigating requirements and class schedules a little bit easier, as well as working with people returning to school. Did that put the university in a better position to pivot during this distance learning quick change?
No question about it. I think a couple things. That clearly put us in a better position. And I think we have systems in place and people in place who are much better at helping our students navigate challenges. No question about that. I think the other thing that happened, and you hate to see a disaster do this to you, but when we had to make a conversion basically over a weekend from a traditional campus to fully online in March, it was really bumpy, but we got it done. But in the process, we learned a great deal about how to do it. And we created some new talent around here for people who can make the conversion. I will jokingly, not so jokingly, tell you one of our faculty members, the president of our faculty senate, Jamie McDonald, told me that he went, the day that he tried to make a switch in his class, he went through plans A, B, C, and D before he got it. Well, now his got-it plan is A. So we are better off in that regard, and we're clearly better off with the systems we put in place for student success, for advising, for creating more adaptable corridors to success than we would have been had we not taken the time and effort to invest both in the processes and the people.
Yeah, and that had been done prior to any knowledge of this.
Yeah, we did that knowing that that was just a good thing to do. And every once in a while, good things to do turn out to be even better than you thought. And so, but that doesn't mean it's not going to still be difficult. I think we are going to see, and I think what the state's going to likely do is suspend or at least modify the performance funding criteria, knowing that the conditions are going to make it more difficult for us to hit some of those criteria this coming year than we did last year. You probably know we greatly broke our own record in the score we got for performance funding because of the things done by a lot of good people here. It's going to be hard to sustain that this coming year, but I think we're much better off than we would have been no matter what happens.
Had that not already been done. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. I mean, this is an unusual summer to be sure, but you're going to have students that are going to be coming back to campus after a summer of protests, marches, movements, and serious tension. And some students will be quite changed by that. How do you plan to make space for people, students, faculty, and even the community, to maybe grow and learn about some of these issues?
Well, we certainly want to make sure a couple things, that everyone knows that we embrace diversity and inclusion in all of its dimensions. That's been a continual theme of ours, and we want to make sure people know that. We also want to make sure people know that this is a place where you should have safe, engaged conversations about the very challenges that we're now facing. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had a protest of some students on campus. The provost and I and a number of others just sat and listened to them. It was important to listen to them because they made some points we need to take seriously. I put together an informal group from across the campus. We've met once, and we're going to continue to meet to talk about things we can do and ways we can listen and ways we can engage, not just the campus but the community, in addressing what is clearly a time that demands change and responsiveness. And so I just had a conversation this morning in the hallway with one of our campus leaders about ways we might do some virtual conversations on the tensions that have arisen out of the George Floyd killing and about all that's kind of fallen out from that. And it's very important, I think, for a university to be a place that responds but also serves as a role model for the larger society about how we take on these kinds of issues. And I've got a couple of proposals in the works that I'm trying out across campus for us to be more highly visible, more highly responsive, and more fully engaged as students come back. I expect them to come back and want to have a forum to vent their frustrations and their concerns, and in some cases their anger, and we need to be able to accommodate that in the best possible way.
Well, I'd like to offer WGCU as a venue for that. That would be so great for us to be able to set up some sort of a virtual situation where these conversations can happen in a way that is safe, moderated, where people can say what they want to say and not feel like they're going to be attacked, because there's a lot of reaction with fear and then anger.
Oh, listen, and I fully planned all along to engage WGCU. You are one of, as you know well, one of our principal connections to the larger community. And we need to take both advantage of it and use it as the best, a major megaphone to tell people what we're up to listen to what needs to be done, and to have a conversation about it. So absolutely, I've got there's a couple of us who are senior citizens among the community who had a little lunch together, socially distanced, mind you, to talk about some kind of series we might collectively put together that would give people a chance to talk about some of the subjects we have been unwilling or unable or lack the courage to take up in the past. And hopefully we can use WGCU as a major part of that. There's other partners in the community who want to participate as well. And so this is one of those moments in time where what should have been taken up a long time ago, maybe now, has arrived at a level of urgency that will get us all to wade into a very complex set of issues, but do it in a way that will really lead to some systemic change over time.
Yeah, talk about the issues, but also then listen to people's stories about their perspective. It'll be interesting. I really look forward to it.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I told a couple of students the day that we had the march on campus and the protest, there's much we can do to be much better here. There's no question about that. And I think that's true of anything. I think the police departments across this country and universities across this country and institutions like of all kinds need to commit to being better. But I did say I hope people will turn around once in a while just to take a little pride in this place and look at the name on the library, Wilson G. Bradshaw. As far as I know, and I may be off by a few here, but I do not believe there's more than one other black president of a university in Florida other than FAMU besides Wilson G. Bradshaw. And he was our third president. So it took, It sent a message that this university brought on for a decade. First of all, a great scholar and a great president, but a very rare customer in Florida higher education. Yeah. Adam Herbert was president of North Florida. That's the only other one I know of. Now, I may be wrong by a couple, but not by very many. So hopefully that name on that building sends a message that we have an obligation to Wilson G. Bradshaw, to be better than we would have otherwise been.
Well, Dr. Martin, unfortunately, we just ran out of time. FGCU President, thank you so much for talking with us
today.
You're
very welcome. Thank you, Julie. Have a great day, and stay safe and stay healthy.
You too.